Hi there. Sian Winters here again. Over the years, I've often been asked by people, how do you do that? How do you make a virtual season? I want to do that. I want to start my own virtual season. Can you give me any tips? Well, as some of the people have been saying, they've gone over the process of what it takes to do their jobs on Watchers. So this is kind of an overview, I guess you might call it the 101 class on how to create a virtual season. First, you need to start off with a good concept. Now you might say, well, how do you know if it's a good concept, CN? Well, the truth is you don't. It's a lot like regular television. There's some shows that make it, and there's some shows that don't. And you really don't know if you're going to hit your readership, and if it'll be things that they're interested in. But one of the things that helps move that along, and I'll get into those points later, is consistency. But to get to that, first you have to start with a good staff. And I'm very blessed because I really have the best staff. Everybody, you know, gives 110%, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that I do too. And I think if you believe that you're going to sit on a throne and you're going to order people around, you're not going to hear what they have to say. I really think that you can't keep that good staff. I'm not tooting my own horn here in the slightest. Lord knows that I have my faults as much as anybody. But one of the things that I always try to do is to be the kind of boss that I would want to have. So even if there's things that people might suggest or want to do, it's something that I might not want to do. I usually told them to sell it to me. Sell me on the concept. Tell me why it's important. Convince me why this has to be. And you know, if somebody can convince me in a logical argument, you know, tell me logically, this is why it's important, then yeah, sometimes I changed my mind, sometimes I didn't. It really just depended on how it felt, but it comes down to having a very good staff that's willing to do the work. And I believe Dan, I do know Dan's name, honestly, I do. Dan had talked about having to fill out an application. I think Rob did too in one of his podcasts about we had an application process, and you know, some people had emailed me during that time and said, well, that's silly, why should I have to do that? Well, that's exactly the reason. You should have to do it because I want to see if you're willing to work, because if it's too much of a bother for you to fill out an application, tell us a little bit about your background, your experience, send us some samples, then you're not anybody that I want in my staff. And I had people that did apply, I had people I rejected. It's just because I didn't think that they would fit with Watchers and with the cast that we had. That's not to say that we're a totally exclusive club. It's not, because we've brought in people, you know, mid-season, beginnings of new seasons. So it really depended on what I thought of that person's character. And I have to say that, you know, the people that have been on Watchers over the years, excuse me, losing my voice tonight, some of them come and go. Some of them have stayed with us from the very beginning. And I think the reason is that, you know, everybody that was there at that time, they did give that 110%. And when it came to a point that they couldn't do it anymore, they were gracious enough to step down and walk away and say, you know, I'm sorry, I have to go. And for me, that was fine. You know, there's people that I didn't want to see go that I wish would have stayed, but I also understand that they have a life, and I do know that being a part of Watchers is a big commitment. It does take a lot of time to do, and I respect the fact that these people would come forward rather than, you know, just being the type that would push things aside and say, oh, I'll forget about it, I won't worry about it. Everybody that's worked on Watchers has truly loved Watchers, and that's one of the things that you need if you're going to create a strong virtual season. You need a good staff, you need people you can depend on, you need people that care about the project just as much as you do. And like I said, my application process was one of the ways that I could see the talents and find out if you're willing to fill out an application, then chances are you're willing to work too. So so it's like the Marine motto, many are called and few serve, or something like that. I don't remember the exact motto, but that's essentially what it is that, you know, we received quite a few applications of people saying, oh, I can do this and I can do that. And when I saw their work, it wasn't quite what I wanted from people. And so, you know, at some point they improve on their skills, and if they wanted to come back and try again, they could. That actually happened with somebody on our staff. when I first read their work, I thought, this isn't really, their writing isn't really that great. I wasn't real keen on their characterization. And they came back, I believe, the next year and resubmitted again, and the quality had improved tenfold. I don't know whether we just caught them on a bad day that first time, but and I'm not going to say who it is, but they did end up being a wonderful writer, and I have written episodes with this person, but yeah, it's really comes down to finding yourself a good staff. That's the second key. You need a good concept. You need a good staff. The next suggestion I have is to do EPs before you even release anything. Get a few in the can, as we say. We don't film anything, but that's the term of when you film something, you have it in the can. And, if you plan a 12-EP season, get six done before you release a single one, because you'll save yourself so much time and so many headaches. And that also goes into the next point that I'll make, is to always make sure you make your deadlines. If you tell somebody that you're going to release an episode at a certain point in time, make sure you release it then. One of the things that's that really bothers me the most is when we can't make deadlines, because I know that readers are depending on seeing those stories. And if you come to the point to where you're constantly missing your deadlines, people aren't going to have faith that you're going to be there. And one of the things I think really has helped Watchers propel above other series is that if we say that we're going to be airing that Tuesday, we air that Tuesday. And it's usually only things that are catastrophic that have halted production. And we have had some catastrophic things over the years through Watchers. I won't make any qualms about that. So really, that's my best advice, is if you're going to do a virtual season, try to get half the season done first if you possibly can. If it's going to be, a 22 or 24-up season like we do at Watchers, that's kind of difficult. But at least try to get your first run done. And we explain what runs are in the other commentary. But, kind of give yourself that cushion. So when the unexpected does happen, you're not totally off guard with it. Once you've got your episodes done, go out and start to promote your site. And we kind of did it in reverse order. We did it the wrong way. But in a way, it was actually a mixed blessing, because we had gotten a free site at Tripod. And we thought, well, we'll put the site up, we'll put the information up about, what we're going to do, when we're going to premiere, and we'll just blast a bunch of different Buffy sites to see if they'll put our little link up. Well, they did. They stopped out, they liked it, they put their link up, and within the second day of the Watchers site being live, we crashed it. We had so many people coming that you couldn't see the page at all, and people were emailing me saying, well, so-and-so told me about this site, and I can't get into it, and we were kind of scrambling at that point. And then, I asked Susan, I said, we got to find a pay site. We got to find something that's got more bandwidth, because we never expected that many people to take an interest in the show without there not even being a show. We didn't have a show yet. We just had the concept. We were starting to work on stories, but we ended up crashing out our server. There's lots of providers out there. We use iPower, and I really don't have a problem with iPower. For as much space as we have, for as much bandwidth as we're allowed that we have to have for Watchers, it really is worth the money of what they charge. If you sign for a longer contract, it's less money. So as of right now, thanks to all the donations and everything that people have done, we'll be around at least for 3 years after Watchers ends. So even if the episodes have ended, people will still be able to go out to the forums, they'll still be able to read the stories, discuss things, whatever they want for at least 3 years. Whether everybody will still be there or not is a different story, but I hope they are, because it really is a fun community. It's a fandom unto itself, so it's really sweet to do. So one of the things that, like I said, you've got to make sure that you get out there and promote. So if you want to run it down, the list of everything that you do, if you want to, do your own series, make sure that you've got a good concept. Make sure that you bring on a good staff. Do at least a first run of episodes up front. Make those deadlines of when you promise episodes will be out. And make sure to promote it wherever you can. And people will come. And then, soon you'll have word of mouth. and things that kind of propel you into the next level. So this is pretty much an overview of how to do your own virtual season. So if you are going to do your own virtual season, I wish you good luck. And maybe you'll take some of these ideas into consideration to make your job a lot smoother than ours was when we first started. Thanks.